The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday, but what a week did we have. I don't even know where to start. A week, I'd say, filled with emotions, filled with confusion, anger, frustration, everything. I think everything came to mind and came crashing down as we spoke last week that we are in the middle of a horrible double war. There's one war happening on the ground and there's one war happening on social media. Everybody's trying to give their narrative, scare us, bring us into this emotional involvement. And actually, unfortunately, I think they're winning in a way that we are getting pulled into this way more than we should. I don't know. What do you think? 34519 is the SMS line. Telegram 0618951019. And that's exactly what we are going to be speaking about today. The part of social media, where is that playing in the media? Should we be involved? Should we not be involved? And, you know, starting this conversation, there was about a week ago, I think right after the war started, there was a message going around on social media from rabbis, professionals, different institutions around the world urging kids to delete TikTok, delete different apps and information that can be used as a weapon by Hamas or other organizations to upload videos, disturbing images that could really, really harm kids. And from speaking to quite a few kids in the community, it seemed that when it came from the public, quite a few of them did delete their apps. And it's an interesting topic to hear about that concept. Are we doing that? Are we not doing that? Does it make sense? Does it not? Do we need to learn to be protected with what we have? Or should we take that extra protection? And that topic, I think, needs to be addressed from both sides. It needs to be addressed from the kids' side who's done it. Sorry for calling you kids, but we'll get to that. And from the professional side, and see what do we recommend, what do we think is right, what do we think we need to, and so much more here today on the show. And I'm just going to introduce the guest here, and we're going to start our discussion. I think we need to dive right into it. So step by step, we'll start with the emotional, social, and clinical social worker, Karen Marcus. You're here with us today. Karen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. So you're going to bring us in from the social, emotional side of things, and just, you know, where do we go with this, with all this information, with this war? However, the very important part of it is the legal side of things. Is it really true that we can just post whatever we want? Can anybody just hide behind any information he wants or she wants? How does that work? And for that, we have here Loreto.
Yes, Loreto Ndwambe.
Loreto Ndwambe. I said it right before, and now I'm messing up. Okay, I shouldn't try it live. Okay, Loreto, you are a social media legal consultant and cyber safety
enthusiast,
yes, and you're a lawyer.
Yes.
My profession, so to hear from your side. So good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us. And the kids that are going to represent the younger generation, I have here in studio with me currently two young boys, David Levitt. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Okay. And with you, we have Alex Hershowitz.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So you are both grade 10 boys from King David Linksfield.
Correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Did you even know, before we start this conversation with a lawyer, that there's actually rules and regulations of what you can put on social media?
I mean, you always see posts and people flag down the posts that it's inappropriate or that that it could be harmful to others. So I definitely did know that there is an extent of what you can post on social media.
That's on a responsible level. But
yeah.
Actual laws?
Well, not in the Constitution or whatever.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there and we'll hear all about that. So let's start with this discussion. And, you know, I'd love to start with you, Karen.
Sure.
Have you seen that post going around regarding urging kids to delete their, your thoughts?
definitely. We were flooded with that post. In fact, I had a client in Israel and we were online and I was just saying how our kids here are flooded with social media, and he had little kids, and he, within an hour of it, he had sent me what had been sent in Israel. And within an hour of that, there was just flooding our phone to advise kids to delete, delete. And us as parents and therapists all went into panic mode quickly and sent out this reaction of delete without maybe actually sitting and thinking, what are we deleting? Why are we deleting? How are we explaining deleting to our children? And what does it really mean for our children, A, to see, and B, to delete? And I think in response to this, what's really difficult is there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach, because some families might feel okay about kids having access to certain posts or certain social media platforms, other families not. Some kids have tolerance and threshold for what they see, and some kids don't. So I think all along our stance in this also is it's very individualistic. However, there's also the collective, and I think we need to find our place in that. And I always say to families, never mind what your kids are connecting to, make sure they're connecting to you, because the greatest kind of tool that we have right now to keep our kids safe is their connection to us as adults and the hope that they'll come to us with whatever it is that they've been exposed to.
Although it may be a bit late after they've been exposed to, but we'll have to deal with that. Loretta, I'm really curious about the legal side of things, of even a public call of deleting stuff, which we need to get to very shortly after the break. But I just have to hear in one sentence, David. Karen just mentioned, what does it mean to our kids to delete it? What does it actually mean to you to delete social media? But because we have to go to a break, hold the thoughts, and both of you, I'd really, when we come back, I really need to hear from you. What does it actually mean to you when we say delete your social media?
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch Show, we are back, and right before the break, I asked a very important question in my mind, because we were talking about deleting social media due to the events and horrific sites we may see or may get exposed to. And Karen, who is a social worker, mentioned, well, what does it mean to the kids before we panic and pull them off social media? And that's a question I'm going to ask them. So, David, let's start with you. What does it mean to you when your parents come and say, or anybody comes to you and says, well, listen, it's dangerous, get rid of social media now?
Personally, I believe that it's very hard for teenagers to get rid of their social media platforms. It helps us all connect to each other, as well as the fact that what we're seeing can be very harmful. I believe it's also important to know what's going on in Israel, as majority of our community has family and friends who live there. And without seeing what's going on, we're not going to know how to be there for them, not going to know what we can do to help. Also, I believe that...
But let me ask you on that. To what extent? Because you could also see that in the news. You could also see that on websites that are monitored, that there's some kind of responsibility, that there's no fake news there, that there's no Photoshop, there's no horrific sites. Do we actually have to see it in the worst way, or put ourselves at risk in seeing it in the worst way?
No. I think it can be our choice to see if we like really passionate to see what's actually happening. Although I do agree, as a lot of the stuff that we are exposed to can be harmful, and therefore I think people should choose if they want to filter it out. For example, if you are 17, 18, 16 like us, and you're thinking about going to the army, I think it's important to see what exactly you're going into. But if you're very young, I think parents should filter out what their young children are seeing, as it could be very harmful to them, what they're being exposed to.
I hear you completely, although I tend to feel that when I speak to 20-year-olds, they tell me when you're young, they mean 16-year-olds, and when I speak to 16-year-olds, they tell me when you're young, they mean 14-year-olds, and the 14-year-olds mean 12-year-olds. So I'm not really sure where that line crosses, which we'll have to hear from the professional. Alex, do you agree with David?
Well, yes, I agree, but just to add, I think that, you know, it's from a teenager's point of view, it's not so easy to just delete social media. I mean, our lives practically revolve around social media. It's what we do during our day. But I think that it's also important to set a limit to what you see. Because although you say that you have a responsibility on social media, not everyone follows that responsibility. And there certainly is fake information and images and things being spread on social media. But also, this war is a digital warfare as much as it is a physical warfare. I mean, Hamas uses social media as a weapon. It is a psychological warfare.
So you're kind of putting yourself in the crossfire and saying, don't worry, I'll be safe.
Well, I mean, as a teenager, I think it is important to expose yourself to the world. You are going to be exposed to the world in 2 years, and you need to know what the truth is. You need to know the reality of the world. You can't just hide away from what really is happening in the world.
Okay. So, Loretto, you hear David, you hear Alex. They both come across as extremely intelligent, clever boys, and they're talking sense. So, and they're saying very clearly, well, we know how to look after ourselves. We'll be in reason. We'll behave. We won't cross boundaries. And we need to know what's actually really happening. It's our families, our friends. We need to go to Israel. Do you agree with that? Or as an analyst and somebody who knows social media, are they actually aware of the dangers?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they've made some good points, but I think what's also important is that parents, as well as educators, I think as people, we all have a legal and moral responsibility to ensure that whatever is seen on social media, whatever they're exposed to, you know, does not bring them harm, and also doesn't bring them any legal ramifications. Because as much as they can feel these, you know, these feelings and have these opinions, they must also be aware of what Section 16 of the Constitution says in terms of freedom of expression. Because as much as we can express...
You realize they're looking at you saying, like, Section 16? What?
Sorry.
What?
So I'll just break it down. So basically, in terms of our Constitution, we have what we call Section 16, which says that everyone has the right to freedom of expression. So this is expression from freedom of press and other media, freedom to receive and impart information and ideas, freedom of artistic creativity and academic freedom, and freedom of scientific research. But what the Constitution also does have is that it has a section which obviously limits where your freedom of expression can go. So it does not extend to propaganda to war, for example, incitement of imminent violence, or advocacy of hatred that is based on race, ethnicity, gender and religion, and that constitutes incitement to cause harm. So it's very important that they are mindful of these limitations that the Constitution does provide them with, so that when they are engaging on social media with certain groups, with certain people, that they're aware of the limitations.
Okay. So I can't control but asking this question. I know it's not agreed upon a lot, but these young boys, they're going to go get their driver's license or their learners, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to have to learn. They're going to have to be tested. They're going to have to be checked that they know every rule of safety. When they're going to want to drink alcohol, they're going to have to wait till it's legally okay. And there's going to be a lot of control making sure they know the rules and they know the law. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm guessing you have pretty much free access to social media. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. And when... and we're speaking here about the Constitution, about the law, you have no clue. Where does the balance come between, I don't want to say needing license to go mm-hmm. on social media, but in a way, to, you know, it's an open place, anybody can just come on and log on.
So, I mean, social media platforms actually do have terms of service or terms of use where they
actually
govern.
The ones
you
click at before you...
Yes.
Yeah.
So before you actually join a social media platform, you agree to the rules and the regulation. And part of those rules and regulations include a little bit of our Constitution. Some of them, it's not 100%, but there are sort of certain rules, for example, that you can't post any profanity, you can't post, graphic or extreme violence on social media. And they also have a legal responsibility, unfortunately, to ensure that they remove that content. So as they mentioned, they're 16 years old. And in terms of many of the social media apps, you only need to be 13 years old to actually join. And when you're 13, you actually need your parental guidance. So your parents need to know that you've actually joined the social media platform. I often have conversations with children and schools where I ask them the question, questions. Do your parents actually know that you're on social media? So I think parents have a responsibility that as soon as they see that their children are interested in social media, there are certain systems and certain apps that can actually help you sort of like oversee what your children are exposed to on social media. So a lot of these tech companies, for example, Google has what they call a Google Family Link, where it links your child's profile to your profile, so you can see whatever game that they're going to download, whatever app that they're going to download, and you as a parent have actually the power to say whether they can join it or not. So I think when kids are as little as maybe 10 or 11 and they're interested in the social media platforms, that they need to be involved in ensuring that they're safe. I mean, they're not 100% safe. YouTube, for example, YouTube Kids is not really foolproof. Kids are still exposed to certain violence and scary creatures on there. So kids and parents need to be actually aware and be active in terms of providing their children with that advice, because it's very essential that you watch the content first before you allow your child to watch it. That's why you've got movies where there's advisories. That's why on TV there's advisories, because there's a science to it. There are actually psychologists and lawyers who sit together and see, is this appropriate for children? Is it not appropriate for children? And that's where the consumer advisories, such as your 16, LV or SL, whatever.
You're putting a huge responsibility on the parents. And because, you know, it frightens me to think, imagine when, and going back to learners, if they go get to learners and before they get to learners, instead of taking a test, there'll be a guy saying there, okay, just sign here that you read the terms and conditions, and they'll sign and say, yeah, I've agreed, done. They're out. It would be a horrific world. Would you agree to that? Loretta's speaking about your moms and dads watching the stuff you're watching before, being involved, seeing what you're up to, being part of your life on social media. What percent of what you do on social media would you be comfortable with sharing with your parents?
I believe that at 16, we are a lot more mature to handle a lot of what we see on social media. I mean, as I said before, it's where we all connect, and I wouldn't say I'm completely comfortable sharing everything with my family, as it's also, it has to have privacy in terms of what I'm saying to others, how I speak exactly, like it has to be social media is supposed to be private, that I'm allowed to view what I choose to view and do what I choose to do.
Okay, so I have in studio here Alex and David that are saying we are big boys and we know what we need to do and we know how to manage it. We know what we could watch and we know what we can't. And this is our world and this is our privacy and we're responsible for that. Then I have Loretto saying, no, your parents, you have to look after everything and see and make sure your kids are safe. Thank God I don't need to manage this conflict because I have Karen in studio with me and you are the clinical social worker. So Karen, where do we come and get a balance between the family systems? You're the one who started it. You brought up, what do the kids feel about deleting the apps? So where would you go with this? Where do we find this?
Thank you, Rabbi. It's a minefield. Even when one listens to the debate backward and forward, it's a minefield that's, there isn't a black and white answer, but often when you speak to a child and their relationship with their phone is a bit like a pacemaker, that if you take it away, they stop breathing a little bit. So we have to be cognizant and aware of that. And at the same time, we're talking to kids that are connected to the world through their devices, that to disconnect them outside of expected disconnect, like a Shabbos, is like solitary confinement. It's like saying you're plugged into the world and the next minute you unplugged. However, at the same time, what we've really, I think, and we were saying it earlier, is some of this is damage control, because we can try to the best of our ability to put preventative measures in place, but very often what we're going to be working with in this space is a bit more damage control, because before we know it, it's already, our kids have seen it. So I think a huge element of this is really just educating our teens who are making choices to have their phones and to stay connected. Be very aware of emotionally, and it's hard because sometimes we're not very emotionally aware, but I think at the same time, it's developing the EQ of our kids also to be more aware of where they hold. How am I, like, has something unsettled me today? Am I acting out of character? Did I struggle to sleep last night? Am I feeling edgy? Even parents, again, the it does fall on us as parents also is to be aware of, does my kid look okay? Something off today is, it's an acute awareness. And the challenge of that is at a time where adults themselves are feeling traumatized from what they're seeing. So we're appealing to an adult who's often exposed to exactly what our kids are, which is hard. And then to our kids who are making choices to stay connected. And it's a thrill-seeking age. So there's almost that's, you know, there's curiosity. Curiosities, we want more and we want to see more and then we want to share with our mates. There's that element. And it's a hard one because to say categorically take phones away is from certain kids, they might actually willingly give you their phone. I've seen kids who have come into their parents' room sobbing, saying, please take my phone. I can't bear to see what I'm seeing. And other kids that are holding tight saying, I'm an educated person. You've told me to ask critical questions of the world. This is triggering me and my Jewish identity. I want to know what's happening out there. So I think the minefield exists because actually each case is in and of itself unique. And I think we need to...
I hear what you're saying completely in every level, saying that there's two points that I want to add. Number one, that we do know that the phones are addictive and social media is addictive. And there's it sometimes when you're dealing with something addictive, it doesn't – let's say it's not enough to know how to be responsible because you will be drawn in. The second thing is which makes it complicated in both ways, as adults, we're also addicted. And as adults, we're also out of control. And as adults, we're also watching what we shouldn't. And as adults, we're also getting nightmares. So on the one hand, the child will come and say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? Because get your act together. And maybe we won't feel that confidence to speak to our children about it. At the same time, if as adults we are losing control and we do have to go to work and we do have to function and we do have to, then what kind of huge risk are we putting on our kids? So where would you say we can push forward and say perhaps, and maybe this is what we need to say, is that we need to separate between normal times in the world and non-normal times. And although when you're 16 and it's a normal time, you have free range to your phone and do what you need and when you need. But now is war. So I'm sorry. It's not normal time. Can the kids understand that, which you'll have to answer in a moment, but I'll hear from Karen first.
I wonder if I can answer it like this, is that even on our phones, in abnormal times, there's still normal information flowing too. And I'm sure you'll comment on it also, is that I'm sure for the kids, and I have kids of my own at home, is as much as there's stuff coming through about the war, there's also stuff coming through about other stuff that is frivolous and fun and social and... I don't know. It's not all war stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that their own phones is accessing both elements of the abnormal and normal. I think what's difficult to say, again, is our adult world like that. But again, is everything with limits. I think everything in life, no matter what we're talking about, has to have limits. And at a point is to say it's enough. I've seen you on your phone. It's enough. Have a break. Go download a movie even, but a happy movie. Just have a break. Put your phone down. Have a break. Go kick a ball. Hit a golf ball. Meet a friend. Go for a run. It's enough. I think we've got to bring in you spoke about getting your car license. Mm-hmm. I think we've got to put a break. We've got to put a break in this car.
And find that space. Yeah, I hear that completely. Although I think that there are apps that are more at risk and not so much for information and apps that are less. So I would never ask a child to delete WhatsApp. But maybe TikTok is a different story. What do you think, Alex?
Well, I think that there's no age restriction for seeing such horrific images and videos. I mean, I don't think anyone's mature enough to see those kind of pictures or old enough. But just to add, I think that it's...
But the adults are responsible for you. You're not responsible for them.
Yeah.
So you're right. But then where are they taking their responsibility?
Well, I think I personally think that I am old enough to be on social media and to be engaged and see what's happening in this war. But I think that it is important for parents to see what is going on in their child's phone, especially social media, because you personally as a teenager, when you see comments and videos, you feel personally attacked. And all you want to do is comment and...
Go ahead, Alan.
All you want to do is comment and... talk about what is happening and you want to try and tell them all you know and tell them and persuade them, but it's just never going to happen.
So Alex, I hear you and you come across as very mature and you say, you know, I'm old enough to have my thought, but your mom's here.
Yeah.
Introduce us to your mom for a moment. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Talia Hershovitz, Alex's mom.
Okay. Is Alex old enough to control his own social media?
Look, as you guys have been saying before, and as Corin was saying, that I think all parents need to know, A, depending on the age of the child, B, depending on the nature of the child and how much he or she can handle. With my personal experience with Alex, he is very involved politically, always has been, and this is basically what he likes to do. And in fact, at the start of last week, I said to him, there are some very disturbing videos out there that I actually do not want you to watch. At which he responded to me that he will not protect himself from what is happening in the world. And if he doesn't watch the videos, it's equating it almost as if it was the Holocaust, where people were not seeing what was going on and were not exposed. And then only many years later, they came to realize what was actually happening. And so therefore, I've left it in his hands to expose himself to certain things and hope that he's able to cope with it. And if he's not, that he will come to us as his parents and say, I can't handle it.
When it comes, and that's amazing, because he does come across as very, I mean, both of you, David and Alex, very impressive. Alex mentioned that he thinks that there's no age that is appropriate to watch these videos and these things. Does it come across in your discussion when, you know, as a mom, you want to put in boundaries, and Alex says very rightfully, what are you talking about? There's no age. Do you feel a need to say, well, you know what? I, as a personal example to you, I also will stay away.
So, yes, I definitely think that all the horrific images that we are seeing in the past week or so have a massive psychological impact, not only on teenagers, but us as parents. And I know for myself, there are times where I just need to take 5 minutes just to breathe and digest what is going on in the world. And so, yes, I think as parents, we also need to take a break and encourage our kids to take a break. And as what Corin was saying, go out, go for a run, turn off the news, turn off your phone, do something else. And I think that that's really important to encourage for everybody, not just teenagers.
Amazing. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We do need to dive a bit more into the legal part of things, I think, to understand. However, we have another break that we need to we do need to have our ads here, and then we will continue.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back in the middle of a fascinating discussion. You know, as there was a call throughout the past week to delete some apps that could be harmful during the war, and we are discussing it. And here in studio with me, I have, on the one side, I have David and Alex, who are grade 10 boys, active on social media, quite aware and intelligent boys, David Levitt and Alex Hershowitz, and advocating for trusting us as kids. And then on the other hand, we have Loreto, who is a lawyer and a professional in online law and being protected online, and Karen, so clinical social worker, in between holding holding us together in this conversation. And we've been speaking about, you know, you are responsible as big boys and you can be trusted. And really, I have to say, before the break, we spoke with Alex and with his mom, and I kind of feel that it was quite impressive to see what flowing, beautiful communication you have about it as a mom and child, and really the way to go. Saying that, there's also what the law says. I know we live our lives that we can trust ourselves and we can be careful, but the law does have a say. And I'm wondering, from Loreto, what does the law say about certain things on social media and, you know, being exposed to some content or even being involved? Imagine somebody, I don't know, can a 15-year-old get arrested for liking a video?
Mm. Absolutely. So, there are those behaviors and offenses that are actually criminalized in law. For example, taking nude photographs of yourself as a teenager, you could actually be held liable for that, because that is called child sexual abuse material, what in South Africa is known as child pornography. So as soon as you take a picture of yourself and you send it to a friend, maybe they're 12, 13, whatever, you can actually, that's an offense in terms of you creating child pornography. If you send it to someone, you are actually distributing child pornography. If you keep it on your phone, you're in possession of child pornography. And those are all offenses. And mind you, it needs to, it's very important for me to bring this across, that there's a criminal, you have kids from age 14 actually have full criminal capacity. So they can actually be charged for those things. Same with cyberbullying. I have a lot of clients who are being cyberbullied, and, you know, they actually have the capacity to get a protection order against the bullies if they know them. So there are so many elements on social media that
what we talk about in the show, but I have to ask you, because what you're saying is horrific. You're saying that a 14-year-old child in class who will send a nude picture of himself in a party just having fun to a 13-year-old classmate, because there's the gaps in ages in the same class, and the other one doesn't delete it, they can both go to jail.
They can both go to jail in terms of the Child Justice Amendment Act. So that is the Criminal Procedure Act that would actually take them to court in terms of being charged for that content. And this, I mean, has legal ramifications. Obviously, they could be suspended from school depending on what their social media policy says or their code of conduct. There are certain rules. Bullying, you know, bullying is such a big thing, especially cyberbullying. And I'm sure the boys can actually also attest to it. It's been happening. It's been happening with gaming. There's so online chats where people are being bullied, and obviously their views and the fact that they're of Jewish descent, they're being bullied for that. So there's certain things that happen online that could actually lead them to jail. As soon as you're 14, you have full capacity to be criminally charged by the law. If you're between 12 and 14, there's limited liability. And depending on your maturity, you could also be charged. So, I mean, there's a lot of legal implications that can come from this. And it is important that they know this. And it brings it back to what you were saying about the TV license. If the kids don't know about that, they could get arrested because they feel that they're mature. You know, they could actually be liable. And unfortunately, their parents can't do anything about it at that stage because they will be charged.
Well, and that's even for liking a war video?
Yes. So that was called chain of publication in terms of criminal law. If you don't dissociate yourself from content that is deemed illegal or unlawful, then unfortunately you could also be held liable for that content.
So if somebody does an offense that is with criminal act, Karen, does that mean that social services will step in after they've got arrested? Or you could be charged at age 14 with criminal and there's no ramifications.
Tell us more about that.
So, I mean, so what happens is that the state will obviously be involved. Your parents will be informed, but unfortunately, like during your trial, your parents have to be there throughout with you. But kids are charged in terms, they can be charged, and the Criminal Procedure Act that actually governs them is the Child Justice Amendment Act. So your parent needs to be there with you every time, but it doesn't absolve you from the crime, and obviously having to do time and having to do some sort of sensitivity training or having to be arrested and imprisoned.
Well, I can't wait to get back from the ad break because I have a really important question to ask you guys, boys. Just brace yourself.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 FM, we are back at, we're towards the end of a great show that I think was way too short for what we need to cover. And I just have to go with this, you know, discussion about everything and the responsibility of young kids watching and being on social media. And the one thing that I'm hearing a lot in family dynamics, which I'd love to hear from Karen how you would respond to that, is more than once I hear from young kids, and I'll just create a situation. A 16-year-old boy saw something horrific on his phone, and he goes to his mom or dad and says, look at what I'm seeing. And the parent goes like, whoa. And the 12-year-old girl stands there and says, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. And he's like, no, it's not for you. you're not old enough. It's not okay. You can't watch. And that's really difficult and offensive. And I'm wondering, Karen, how do we address the gap between what we allow our older ones to our younger ones and just generally what happens with the younger kids?
Great question, because that's coming up a lot, actually. It's even as we could all be sitting at home with the news on and our older kids can walk past and it's not going to have, you know, they might sit and watch, but our little ones are also privy to what's going on around us. And I think we've got to be very aware of how much information we want our younger kids to have. And again, there's no one-size-fits-all approach here. Each family is different. But being aware that our children don't have capacity to make sense of information in the same way that as they get older, they develop that capacity. So I think we have to be very protective, actually, and take much more of an advocacy role with our younger kids to say, this you will not watch. Even if you think you're okay to watch it, I don't like that you're going to watch this. I also think when we say a blanket no, or we shoo a child away, something feels more scary than it is. So I think what we have to do is almost create the space where we say to the child, your brother could watch this. It's not for you because there's images on it. It's just give a little bit more information so the child understands why you have told him or her to just move away or it's not for you. I think if we don't give a degree of information, again, we allow that child to feel like something is so big and scary you can't even tell me what it is. Or we dismiss their own curiosity. And I think right now, and I said the other day on a webinar, that is really to focus on emotional permission. Is that any emotion right now is okay and it's permissible. And even if right now you feel angry that I'm not letting you watch it, that's okay. But let's have a conversation around that. But I think with our kids, we've got more room to be more, to be advocates for how much we feel that they should be exposed to.
Completely. And there is that room and space. I want to hear from Alex and David. Did you learn anything new today?
Yes, definitely. Before this conversation, I did know that there were consequences of what you can view on social media and engage yourself in, but definitely from what I've heard in this discussion, it's made me a bit more like, it's opened my eyes as to like what I'm exposed to and how to be careful. But
do you think the school needs to get more, I guess, more training, more on knowing what we're actually facing? Alex?
Well, I think it's hard for the school to do that because it's something that happens at home. It happens everywhere. It's your phone. You carry it with you everywhere.
But to get that education about what you learned today.
I think it is very, it's necessary because personally, I mean, when I see something I disagree with, all I want to do is comment on it and tell them my opinion. But when I hear about the law and I'm educated about it, then I'll hold back and I'll know the consequences.
Loretta, you have a lot of work.
I do. I think the last parting shot that I'll say is that a smartphone is more than a piece of technology. If wrongly used, it can be a weapon that puts your safety and your future reputation at risk. So I think it's very important that you realize that you have a digital footprint and that everything you post online one day could be used against you. You could probably lose a scholarship because of your views and, you know.
It's scary. I always feel bad for the kids today because we could have done all our stupid things as kids and nobody knows. And any stupid thing they do is in social media and it's there forever. So I really worry about that. Okay. We're going to have to cut the show as a show came to an end, although there's so much more to talk. Thank you, Loretto, for being with us today. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, David. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Talia. And thank you, everyone, for the listeners and being here. Stay safe. Please, God, we'll hear great news throughout the week. And next week, we will be back, 2 to 3. In the meantime, just do what we can to stay in the best of ways.